We thank you so much, Father, for your word. Because your word is what causes us to grow. And I thank you that the bread that has come down from heaven, our manna, has been ordered up by you for this week. And so what we learn this morning will be something that we will deal with this week. But it's very important to us. So, Father, I hope what I have to share will help your people, will give them guidance and instruction. Maybe not bring new revelation, but might bring to remembrance the Word of God that they had once known and didn't realize they would need it for this week. But they're here for it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, let's confess this. Father, I thank you for what the Holy Spirit has prepared for me this morning. Because I will need this food to live on for the next week. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we heard the term finding favor with God and man. We've had many people come up to us in prayer many times over the years that I've been pastoring the church. Pastor, pray for me that I would have favor. Pray for me that I have favor. And did you know that in the mind of God, in God's mind, what He did for you already involved favor? You just have to discover what kind of favor you got from Him. Well, I thank God for my redemptive rights. Amen. Through my redemptive rights, I have favor with God. Yes. Yes. Amen. Well, so do you.
Right.
You know, Paul really got upset at the Corinthian church because they started having a respecter of ministries. Thought that was real interesting. And Paul rebuked them for tearing themselves apart like that. The reason he did is because they were actually coming against each other because one minister had a greater position over the other minister for their life. There were certain things that one minister could provide the other one couldn't, so they would disregard the other one and cling to the one. Well, we find that a lot today.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul made this one statement real strong. He says, for all things are yours. For you've inherited all things. How many of you know that you have inherited something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your inheritance came through Abraham and Jesus. They cut a covenant with each other, and they both fulfilled it and died and left you an inheritance.
Amen.
And guess what? Ministers don't have a right. They don't have a right to rob you of your inheritance. You know why? Because they're supposed to be servants or slaves to give you an understanding of what rightfully belongs to you.
Amen.
What rightfully belongs to you. And yet many of us don't realize that.
Right.
And so when you gravitate towards certain ministers, all of them have an element of good. One plants, one waters. But it's God that God give an increase in your heart. Why? Because they're delivering to you your understanding of your inheritance. You know, it's when a person dies in the natural and leaves a will, last will and testament, the first thing he does, he calls for all his legal counsel together to give the family or whatever their instructions for their inheritance. Amen? If you've ever been caught up in the death of a loved one and understand that, then you understand what executors are. Executors are the one who spells out the last will and testament of a person. Well, ministers are just executors of the inheritance that already belongs to you. But the sad thing about it is today, there is such a deception working in the church that it makes me sick to listen to some of the things that they're actually saying. They're saying that we cannot participate to a certain part of our inheritance unless we buy our way out of something. Or we penance our way out of something. Whether it's religiously or financially, they'll They always make the gospel a gospel that requires payment. And listen, we're not living in a time period where the gospel demands payment of us. We've already inherited it. Now, the last will and testament of God in our inheritance, He spelled out how to partake of His inheritance. What? No, of your inheritance. You see, He obtained it for you. You've got to walk it out. But you can't let people tell you that you have to stand on one leg and the other one in the air, and you got to put both hands on the top of your head before you can get it. That just don't work that way. Your inheritance comes by knowledge, by understanding what belongs to you. Then you appropriate that knowledge. You know, when my dad passed on, went on home to be with the Lord, thank God. He never had a will made out. He never had a last will and testament laid out. And so what many people don't understand, when there's no will spelled out, then it goes back to the authority of the state. Amen? And if there are family left, then the state approaches the family and then distributes, first of all, what belongs to the family, providing the person that died is not indebted to the state. From what I understand, the state can come in then and take what belongs to them if he left, in debt to the state. But if he didn't, and he just didn't spill out a last will and testament, then everything goes back to the executor of the state to determine the outcome of the inheritors. In my case, my dad, when he passed on, what they did is they ended up having, because no will was spelled out, they ended up having to liquidate all that he had, and then it split it up between all of his children. So we all got a portion of it. But it's good to have a last will and testament made out for those that you leave. But I'm saying all that to say this, that many of us do not believe or understand that the whole essence of your walk now is by inheritance. You know, when we come into the kingdom of God, we don't think that we've inherited anything. I never thought that way for years until I started really hearing the word of God. Somebody started preaching to me that I had an inheritance. I didn't even know I had one. And sad to say, most of the religious leaders that I had been under didn't know it themselves. It's kind of like a passed on thing, you know, of ignorance. You know, the blind leading the blind, and then we all go into a ditch. And then I began to realize a part of my inheritance not only included my physical man, but it included my spiritual being. Right. And the more light I got to understanding my inheritance, wow, the freer I became. But you know what? You know, it's hard to live out the inheritance that God gave you when you want to continue living in your former life. You know, like Keith Hersey said, you know, get heaven in and get the hell out. Remember how he said that? Put heaven in, get the hell out, you know. And I like his little phraseologies because they have a little twist to them, you know. But there's a lot of wisdom behind those little phraseologies, you know. Now, finding favor with God. Now, why did I even title this Finding Favor with God? Well, you have favor with God through your inheritance. The problem is you have to implement what your inheritance is all about. But you can't do it according to your old life. Your former way of living. You have to realize you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. You cannot carry your inheritance over into the natural, because your inheritance involves spiritual issues or spiritual things. Even though you're dealing with natural things, still the implementation behind everything that is in your inheritance requires spiritual tactness, spiritual enlightenment first, so that the natural then can take its proper course. Now, as a believer, for many years, I still do in my life, I lack so many things that I have a right to through the inheritance of my natural man, you know, what was spelled out for him, for this natural life. But I can also look forward to the inheritance that is to come.
Right.
Are you following me? That which will cover eternity. Now, we don't think of ourselves when we come into the kingdom of God as an eternal being, but that's what we are.
Amen.
We are an eternal being. And so in our inheritance, the Lord and Abraham spelled out very clearly what we have to act on while we're here in this life. It has its boundaries. It has its perimeters. It has what I term your rights. Now, if you go beyond those rights, where do we stand when we go beyond them? I'm glad you asked, because it helps me finish my message. But on the other hand, if you receive something through the kingdom of God as an inheritance, but yet you continue to live where you're at in the natural, that's not good. Because you cannot fulfill what God has left you in his inheritance through the natural man. You can't do it. It's impossible. And yet, and I'm just as guilty as you are, I come into the kingdom of God, but yet I still walk according to my old man. Now, none of y'all have that problem. That's why God designed this message just to irritate and disturb me. No, that's not true. Because everything that God has left us, there's a requirement of righteousness that operates through his inheritance. You cannot obtain his inheritance through the walk or the reaction to the natural man in this life. You can't. Now, I'm going to bless you all with something that I knew this is contrary to what's being taught. But did you know that God has called us to cause the flesh to suffer?
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm sorry. I just eliminated your television influence. God has called us to suffer in the flesh. Don't everybody jump up at once and shout. God has called us to suffer in the flesh. You want to know why? Because before you were a believer, you were doing the will of the flesh and the mind without restraint. No problemo. It just seems like once I got born again, and I've told you the testimony before with Sue and I, when we were first in the Lord, we got into an irritated position. It seems like everything now that we have got to do, it's no, no, or yes, yes, but we were still too much carnal. We were still viewing it from the viewpoint that Christianity really hadn't benefited us at all. But it's brought a problem to us. Boy, you all quiet here. You want me to preach for 5 more minutes and then dismiss you? Or do you want me to keep going? That's why Christianity today, it's cutting its own throat. Because it leads you to believe that Christianity was designed for the comforts of our flesh. I'm removing all the excuses from everybody here today. God has not called us for a creature comfort of the flesh. He's actually called you to suffer into flesh. Isn't that good news? That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Why is that encouraging? Well, one of the benefits that God had left me that I couldn't obtain to myself is that when my physical body gets sick, I have an inheritance that was left me for this natural world called physical healing. Isn't that good news? Hi, Dave. Hey, he's back from Iraq. Stand up. Gosh, it's good to see you. Now, are you back just for a little bit? You're back for permanent good? Praise God. Did you have a good time over there? Running around with them angels covering you, huh? Praise the Lord. So, now where was I at? Dave got. Good to see him. The comforts of the flesh. Today they're amplifying the fact that the gospel is more readily received, providing they give you a way for the flesh to be comforted. And that's not what the gospel was intended for. It was intended to bring a suffering to our flesh so that our flesh is preserved in its redemptive rights. No, it's strange that we as believers, we can talk about medication, we can talk about doctors, and we have all this wonderful insight, but the same believers don't talk much about physical healing and how to receive it and walk in it and walk out of death into physical life. You know, God intended for you to be put into a position in your inheritance to you to walk out the fullness of your walk in Him and to fulfill your intended purpose. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, if you're not walking out the fullness of His intended purpose in your body for physical healing, it don't matter. You're going to go home early anyway. But He has provided a way for our physical bodies to receive healing and intact so that we would fulfill the fullness of our walk and then go on home and be with the Lord.
Amen.
See, God looks at things for the intended purpose of you fulfilling what He's called you to do, not so much for just this physical life, but the fullness of what this physical life has for you in God, not man, and yet the fullness of that which lives eternal. Isn't that good news? Well, you all ought to be excited about that. The problem is finding the will of God for your life while you're here, because you know it's going to be good there. Right? But we're interested where we're at. Temporary, right here, right now. That's what we need to know. Well, I got news for you. If you're lacking a part of what you've been redeemed from while you're here, if you're lacking it, it's because there's a lack in you, not God.
Right.
You know, Christians always say, well, I've lost the will of God. I've lost direction for my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. You want to know why you've been doing it? Because you've been a nomad. You've been wandering all over God's creation and not settling down and finding out what the will of God and the purpose of God's will is for your life so you could find direction and find right season and find right timing for your life. You've been putting God on the shelf and been wandering around, and then you get lost and you say, where am I at? You know. Now, does God leave you and forsake you? No, He doesn't. You're the one that keeps walking away. I mean, here you're sitting there in your company with somebody and they disappear on you and you're sitting there talking, I know what that's like. And you're sitting there talking, oh, where'd they go? Well, God don't go nowhere. I mean, Psalms 139, you ought to read that. That's a beautiful psalm. It tells you how David found the heart of God. How did he find the heart of God? He went everywhere on planet Earth and disappeared from God, and God found him. He was in all kinds of darkness, and God was still his light in his darkness, and he finally found light. And you know what the secret was? He found God never left him. He found out he was he who was leaving.
Yep.
Matter of fact, it says the last... The Laodicean church, the ones that had gotten so fat and sassy and had gotten everything that they intended, they booted Jesus out of the process, and he's the one night banging on the door saying, hey, can I come back in and live with you guys?
Right.
Now, is there payment to be made when you become irresponsible in your inheritance? Absolutely. The devil going to rip you off. If you don't know the will of God, the enemy will come in and just take whatever he wants from you.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're dumb. You know schemers for money on planet Earth? Schemers for money? They can be believers, by the way. They're out to take something that doesn't belong to them from you. It belongs to you, but the enemy wants to take it from you. Mm-hmm. And we just let them do that. And we don't have to. So what does it mean to have favor with God? Well, let's look at the word favor. What it means, favor. It means to show partiality towards one for the purpose of him to be the advantage of others. To have advantage over others. What? Well, let's read that again. To show partiality towards one for the purpose of him to be in the advantage over others. This word in most of the occasions of the Bible is found in the expression to find favor in the eyes of. It means someone is beholding something in another. It means someone is beholding something in another. Have you ever wondered why some people get promoted above you and after, you just labored, you're a little behind off, is that right to say? And you should have been there, and they got there, how that happy? Well, it's all in the eyes of the beholder.
Right.
And especially in this case, it would be the boss. He's beholding. He's looking over. Now, he can motivate you politically because you're just a wonderful little friend. Or you've really earned your position to be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you're a child of God, it don't matter what the unrighteous do to you. If you keep your heart right and you stay in favor with God, he'll promote you in spite of their politics.
Right.
Did you know that? I thought I'd just throw that little bit of wisdom out there for you guys. You know? Most of us get an attitude because we should have gotten a promotion. We should have gotten it. How come we didn't get our promotion? I hate my boss. I hate my job. They're always ripping me off. But you know what? When you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're no longer to live according to your old former way of thinking. You're to live fresh and new. Why? Because we never think of it this way. Even though our job and our boss is our enemy, it never dawned on us that we are to do the boss and the job before the Lord and not us.
Right.
Now, I'm preaching to you something that I never did. But it doesn't mean that I hadn't learned what's right from wrong. I never did it. As my wife, she'll tell you. Yeah, he's preaching something he never did. But that doesn't mean it's still the standard that we should live by. If the pastor didn't do it, we don't have to. No, you're still responsible for truth. Now, I have changed. I've changed my attitude towards God, even serving as a pastor. I had the wrong attitude. Yeah. What attitude is that? You're all my problem. Not God. You're my problem, not God. I'd have a bigger church. I'd be going further. I'd be doing much more if it wasn't for you guys. God had to deal with that, of course. God, why are you always picking on me? God always told me, because you're the one that needs picking on. We don't think that way. God had to pick on everybody else. And he's going to pick on you. All right. Let's go to Scripture and look at these words for finding favor in the eyes of God. Psalms 5:12. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, but write them down. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, semicolon, with favor you will surround him as with a shield. Oh, isn't that good? It shows that someone's going to have favor, and in this favor, he's got protection. Boy, you know how many of us walked around getting a raw deal of anything? I mean, the raw deal on the job, the raw deal in church, the raw deal with people, and walked around looking like we've got shields all around us. It doesn't matter what they think. No, most of us don't do that. We sit there and we cop attitudes. I'm leaving. I'm fed up with the way I'm being treated around here. No, we don't walk around as someone surrounded by shields because we have favor with God. No, why? Because we don't think we have favor with God until we have favor with man. Then we got favor with God. Hey, you got favor with God. It don't require where man is. It's where God is in your life that you've got favor.
Amen.
Not me. If that's the case, then the elements of this world can come and undo you. But my scripture tells me here, look at this. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield.
Amen.
You know what the righteous here is referring to in the Bible? An ordinary person who is honest and true justice with other men. How many of you have set somebody's head of hair on fire? If they're bald, it'll still burn. How many of us have done that? You know how to set somebody on fire against you? Do righteousness to them when they rip you off. You convict them. Why? Because you're giving them a testimony that you're surrounded by the shield of your wonderful Father. You cannot undo me. Boy, that'll irritate your adversary. I just took everything from you and you're sitting there smiling at me. Yep. Oh, how many of us really... Come on, how many of you have been overworked carrying the shield around? Psalm 30, verse 5 and 7. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Boy, how many times I've been in that situation. Boy, how many times I've been in that situation where I knew God was upset with me. I did something stupid. None of us have ever done that but me. I've done something stupid. And I knew God was angry at me. And I even had a hard time going to sleep at night. Why? Because I knew he was upset at me. I knew I felt bad about something. But I like this. His favor is for life. He's committed for the length of your life. He's committed to you. Have you ever thought of him that way? You don't think of him that way when you know you've been wrong. That's why this verse is telling you, even though you know that he has been upset with you because you did something stupid, his favor is still with you for life.
Right.
But does that mean he approves of your, well, how can he get mad at you if you didn't do something wrong? Jesus, when you do something wrong. But this verse says, even when you do something wrong, hey, his favor is for you for life. Why? God, you may be in a weeping situation, but joy comes in the morning. God has a way of getting you off the cutting edge of what you did wrong. That's right, so you can go on. Has God ever said, well, you missed it, you might as well lay down on the ground and die? Croak. Come on home. I know Christians that commit legal suicide spiritually. And God don't let him come back. While he's got him, he keeps him. They're too crazy when they're walking around on earth. They don't know how to sustain their own spiritual life. So when they do prematurely die, he allows them to come on home. Well, you don't want you wandering around here with that same mind. At work, he'll lose you. Now, verse 7. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain. David's mountain was his fortress, Mount Zion. To stand strong. You know, see, a lot of people don't understand why David said that. But did you know David looked into the future? The death of the law was removed from him. He saw the spiritualness of the law. And he knew that his physical being couldn't fulfill it. So he gave no regard to his physical being. And that's when they got hungry. He went into the temple and all his military probably went into shock. He didn't go through no purification rites or anything. David didn't call up on his cell phone to one of the local priests and say, hey, come on down to the temple here and purify me. My soldiers are hungry. And it was not Gaze bread. The loaf you saved may be your own. But David said, I have learned my mountain. I have located my mountain. I've located where my fortress is. It's Mount Zion. He looked into the future and saw his Redeemer die on the cross. Saw him go to the eternal grave and saw him resurrect to newness of life. And he says, therefore, all that was instructed to me out of the types and shadows of the law no longer hold me bound because I saw they all pointed to my Redeemer. Mount Zion. Whew! You guys getting something here today?
Amen.
Proverbs 8, 35 and 36. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Verse 36. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. You see, this is something that you've got to realize, that God did something to your life for purpose. And when you don't observe the purpose He has in your life, you're doing damage to yourself. You're doing disservice to your own self. You know, my son Mikey, before he passed away, he made the statement to me one day. I says, Mikey, why don't you just stay with the church, stay there? And of course, he stayed with the church because of a lot of you in the church blessed him. A lot of you, your testimony to Mike is why Mike is in heaven. He always talked about Bob Shambly. Bob Shambly was a blessing to him because Bob would always go to Mikey and encourage him. Remember how he was? And Bob would always give him, you know, a word of encouragement. And Mikey, but one thing I liked about Bob always told it to Mikey like it was. How I knew that, Mikey always shared it with me. And not only just Bob Shannon, but many of you other men, you were very consistent with Mikey. You know, and he's in heaven because of that. I do believe in death he had a chance to go back to all that you shared with him. Until Sue had that supernatural visitation. She went to heaven and held him in his arms. I wondered the outcome of it, but thank God, God showed us and confirmed it. And Sue quit weeping ever since after that. And you've been at peace ever since. And well, if you had that experience, you would too. But not all people have that understanding or of the outcome of another person's life. But you know, there's something in all of us, even in this church setting, you don't realize it, but there's something in you that is a testimony to someone. And thank God that someone can look at your life as a believer and say, they have favor with God. Because see, that's what Mikey said. These men have favor with God that I don't have. But Mikey had favor with God. He just didn't know how to walk it out. But you guys gave him the testimony of the favor. And I'm so ever thankful for you for that. But Proverbs 11:20 says, he who diligently seeks God finds favor. What does he mean by good here? Moral goodness and virtue. That's what that word means. He finds favor. But trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Now, Christians many times come to me, how can I find direction? Well, how are you walking your inheritance out while you're here? You cannot mess around in the enemy's system of this world and expect to find favor with God when you're not walking where the righteous are to walk. And Billy, this has nothing to do with fishing. Fishing is a godly thing. Just like hunting. Right? Went to Cabela's and they were buying up all this fishing gear, and every time I got around it, I just had the blessing of God come on me. But there's nothing wrong with fishing. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like when you get to heaven, but but I think fishing is of God while we're here, don't you? Of course Billy does. If it wasn't for church, he'd be out fishing right now. But notice what he says, but trouble will come to those that seek for evil. Many of us don't realize where we're walking. God doesn't have a problem where He's walking. It's getting you to walk with Him. And it doesn't mean you necessarily have to give something up just to walk with Him. You can enjoy fishing. You can enjoy hunting. But it don't mean put God in the background and let Him disappear over it. You know what I mean? You can have both worlds. You can have both worlds and the blessing of God be on you. Matter of fact, God will see to it you have more money for fishing stuff. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin. That's the Hebrew literally, guilt. Fools mock at guilt. But among the upright there is favor. It shows that when a man knows to do good and he doesn't do it and still walks out the other way, he's under guilt. He doesn't have freedom of his heart. He's under guilt. He doesn't have freedom for what he's doing because it's taken the place of God. He's under guilt. The word for sin there in the Hebrew literally means guilt. Guilt. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfruitful is hard. What's it mean? If you don't take His advice on how to walk out your inheritance, then what are you walking out to get what you got? Earlier on in your Christian walk, there are places you don't belong, and your conscience is going to be real strong in the beginning because you're new to the life of the Lord, and that's where you're going to find your conscience work the most. Why? Because everything's new to you, fresh on the cutting edge. And so there are places I used to walk that finally when I started walking there as a new creature in Christ Jesus, something on the inside said, you don't belong here. Get away, get away, get back. Oh, I didn't know I can't find God. Well, God ain't where you're walking. God never leaves me or forsake me. He goes everywhere I go. No, He does not. You go there. You know, they had this picture, you know, footprints in the sand. It shows these four sets of footprint going along, and all of a sudden one set. Somebody said, that's where God carried me. No, it isn't. It's where God stopped and you kept going. Then you get down on the beach and you turn around, where's God? Where's God? Why am I where I'm at? Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he should have been capitalized, makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Boy, I found that to be true. Makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I found that to be true. You all heard the story of little Lord Fauntleroy. Him and I were bitter enemies, but when I surrendered to the will of God, we became best of friends. Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablets of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding. Actually, it's high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, one of the things that we have always had to deal with in church understanding is how we have an issue. Now we have an issue to deal with. What? Well, according to Romans 2:11 and Acts 10:34, there's a statement that there is no respecter of persons with God. So if we find that favor with God puts us in a position of protection and shield, you follow me? Then is God really a respecter of persons? Because over here in Romans 2:11 it says there is no respecter of persons with God. In Acts 10:34, Peter said that God is no respecter of persons. Literally in the Greek that there it would have been better translated shows no partiality. Literally, prosopon and lambano means to receiving of face value. Shows no partiality, receiving a face value. In other words, God don't look at you and go, oh my gosh, I can't handle that one. Oh, I like you, Pat. Cook, I can't handle. why he's always right and I'm always wrong. Really, to receive a person on face value only. If that's the case, then how do we make the distinction with God? John 3:16, whom he will receive. One is whom he will receive. The other rests on who he is willing to promote. Who is he willing to promote? Most people want favor with God to promote them, give them favor with man, and never change the way they live before God and man that basically has no integrity in it. We preach to people all the time. We preach to church friends. We preach to family. We preach to unbelievers. We preach no matter where we're at, we're preaching something when we say, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Well, what do they see in your life? To show them that they have favor with God. If God is going to promote favor in the eyes of others for you, what is he going to use to promote favor on your behalf? What is there in you that's of him to use in ministry for others on his behalf? Has it come from what's in you and not in him? I'm going to give you a little key, a little secret that will keep your heart freed up before the Lord. Little secret that I've learned with myself, and I hate it. And this is the reason I hate it. I hate it because of my flesh. My flesh, in it dwells no good thing. Matter of fact, last week I was stunned at the finalization of understanding Romans 7. I never understood it before. And we've been doing a verse-by-verse breakdown of Romans 5, 6, 7 in light of 8, verse 1 through 23. We're doing a verse-by-verse breakdown. We're doing this up until the first of the year. We're going into the book of 1 John, verse-by-verse. You don't understand this, you ain't going to get 1 John. But one of the things I've learned in Romans chapter 7, and this is totally contrary to what I preached. It shocked me. I didn't know how to handle it because of my flesh. But I realized the nature of death was never at work in my spiritual being even before I got born again. My spiritual being before I got born again was dead. It had no power and it had no identity. It didn't know itself to exist. Why? It was living in flesh. And I found that the nature to sin is in our flesh. Paul always said it there and I couldn't get it. That's why when I went into Romans 8, I always struggle with that scripture when you're not being led of the Spirit. You're now in the process of going back into death. We're going to look at that. And now, remember, you're only invited on Wednesday nights if you don't want the responsibility of the teaching. Don't come. Because you're accountable for what you find out. I hated chapter 7 when I got through with it. Matter of fact, I was still mulling it over and I just shared with Sue in my car. You know, I asked her some questions about it. And I did teach that the nature to sin came from the Spirit, and that's why the man's spirit had to be changed. No, before you had Christ move into you and give you the Spirit of Christ, you had no identity as a spiritual being. But you know what? In your unborn again state, your inner man knew that it needed something because it was an agreement that the law is good. But how to do it? Because the law is spiritual. So if I'm going to walk out my inheritance, it's going to require a commitment on my part to be sold out to God. And see, most of us have the option that we can come into Christianity, come into the kingdom of God, and we can let our inheritance go by the wayside and just live as we please and not get involved in the Word of God. Thank God I'm here with the Word for you. And think that you're going to end up not being confused and lost and wondering where you're at, what season the crop grows in. Well, it's because you come up into the kingdom of God and you start walking with God and you lost interest and you start wandering all around. And the next thing you know, God's living in His world. You're living in your world. What? The same world you left. See, I never looked at my body as when He takes over and takes control of my life and I can't do righteousness. Then my body is literally now my authority again. I've moved back into death. And I thought Satan was my worst enemy. He can be your worst enemy, providing you've given yourself over to your flesh. But he can be your least enemy as long as you stay spiritual. Now here's the key, the secret that I've learned how to keep out of a guilty conscience, keep from God judging me all the time. Everything that the Bible has to tell me must be governed or understood through my new nature. Why? Because your new nature is your conscience given from God. And guess what? That new nature will never agree with your flesh. Why? Galatians tells us very clearly in 5. For the Spirit desires against the flesh, and the flesh desires against the Spirit. And we as Christians lollygagged ourselves right over back into the flesh. Why? Because I kind of agree with my flesh. That Spirit thing is just really getting to me. Do you know what God said about your body? He said your body has put into a position where it will never rule you again because it will have not dominion over you. That's a positional truth that God gave you, and that's your inheritance. As you have dominion over your life again, God has brought it back to you because He restored you to your original creation, your original formation. He gave your spirit life again. That's circumcision of the heart. And that's the first place that Christians who lose interest in the kingdom of God attack. And you know what they do? Eventually they'll turn on the church and they'll attack the church. Why? Because the church is an indictment against the decision they make to walk the rest of their inheritance through your flesh. I'm preaching good stuff. Now you all can forgive this when you leave. But you know what? I told the Lord, never again will I ever put my walk with the Lord on a shelf. Amen. I ain't going to live there no more. I'm just not going to do it. When my conscience says, you stop doing this and you do this, I'm going to obey it. And Christians, they come into the kingdom of God, they love God, they don't put God on the shelf. They move with God, they get the results they want and everything. And they're not even matured into the Word. But yet they are simple in obedience to the Word of God and they get results. And then when they start losing interest, the next thing you know, it seems like everything they touch turns to pot. I don't mean the weed you smoke. Well, sometimes it does turn to that. And then we turn around, what in the world's wrong with me? Well, you know those footprints in the sand? You know the single ones? That's where you at. That's Iraqi sand, by the way. This is the thing that I've learned. I want you to open your Bibles up in closing. How y'all doing?
Just can't hardly wait to get out of here. I'm so tired of hearing this crap.
If you're thinking that, guess what? It's your old man. You put him back on. You forgot to leave him. Let's go to 1 John. This is a book I really don't know all that much about. And let's go. Now, you guys ready for more, or do you want to quit? Okay. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. This is the book of the fellowship. That's why I'm so excited about getting back into this book, because it will change your life. It will change your life. When Pastor Mead told me it changed these two ladies' lives, I almost called them a liar. You don't know these two ladies. Anyway. For we know, verse 14 of 1 John 3. Now we're talking about having favor with God. In order for you to have favor with God, you've got to be righteous in what you do. You know what the Lord told me? He said, just in your body alone, Jan, He says, you have believers expecting blessings when they're not doing righteous. He said they would just surrender their life to me. The blessings would come. I've learned something about money, wealth. How is it that He giveth up everything, yet He has great riches? Very interesting. Look at this. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Do you know the first sign of you being out of fellowship is when you cop an attitude with somebody else? It's the first sign you're out of fellowship with God. Notice this. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Actually, in Greek, it says remains in death. But whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He sheds innocent blood. Why? Because God declared him innocent. Well, what about his mistakes? Well, what about them? They're not your problem, they're his. But you're letting them become his problem. This is the first sign you're in death. Now, notice this. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, he said eternal life abiding. You see, Christians don't realize that they have inherited eternal life, but they can walk back into their flesh. And they are now about into the process of dying again. Why? Because they've ended up going back to that which is what? Corruptible. Now, notice this. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Say this with me. Hereby. Perceive we. The love of God. How do we perceive the love of God? Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. Ooh, isn't that cool? Now watch this. But whoso hateth this, but whoso hath this world's good, bios, and sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall persuade our hearts before him. Why? Because our heart is being condemned by God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Why did I bring this up? Am I running a rabbit trail? I am not. I'm saying that when you have an inheritance given to you, God expects you to walk that inheritance out in righteousness so you have favor with God. And how He does it is that when you in your heart is on the wrong track, God condemns, judges, pass sentence on what you're thinking so you do that which is right.
I just don't know the will of God. I just don't understand why this is happening to me.
Well, to be quite frank with you, my friend, God doesn't either. If God was to come down and tell you like He did me one morning, oh, I hate those scriptures that says you'll know a guy by the fruit on his tree. I hate them. Why? Because some fruit might be hanging on you. You don't want there. And I'm sitting down and I said, look, God, we got a problem here. I says, I need some help and these things ain't working out. And I, quite frankly, with God, I want you to show me why. And I'll never forget this morning. God spoke. He has a way of speaking to you. Nobody else can. Anybody else tell you this? They're history. In your life, they're history. They'll never have anything to do with you again. And he says, so what is your problem? I said, God, I'm talking to you here. I need direction. And I don't seem to be finding it. How can I find direction? You know what he said to me? What kind of fruit you got on your tree? He said, a person's known by its fruit. He says, you want to know you? I don't know. He says, take a look at your fruit and you'll find out who you are. I sat there and I had to look at this fruit and I go, oh my gosh, that's hard. Lord, that's hard. And you know what the Lord said to me? Not for me. That's hard for you. You know how we cuddle people in all their misery? And you know good and well these people aren't living what they're supposed to. But yet we hold them. We cuddle them. We say, we understand. Really, what you'd like to do is thump them in the head and say, don't you know the kind of fruit you're bearing? Your deception comes through your fruit. No, if God gave you an inheritance, and if the minister has any value in him at all, he'll tell you how to obtain your inheritance. And God will always have you in a place of favor regardless of where you're walking, because David learned it. He said, no matter where I've been, God's been there. If I make my life in hell, God's there. If I scatter to the four corners of the earth, no matter where I go on planet earth, God's there. No matter how lost I get, how dark things are, no matter where I'm at, I could be just like a light busted light bulb in a black can of paint in a dark room during a blowout in a major meltdown in electricity. God's there. And you know what he said about the wisdom of God? He said, your darkness, where you're at, is no darkness to him at all. Where your darkness is, he's got light. Well, he always is in light. And that's one thing that lost believers are not understanding. I don't know why I'm where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the dilemma I'm in. Well, it's because you belong on the mountaintop where there's light, not in a black can of paint. Stop doing what your body tells you to do. Step out of darkness into light. Your body will cause you to fall asleep in the things of God. The light of God causes your lamp to burn brighter and brighter. I used to get up in the morning and praise God, and my body would say, now look, enough is enough. And start reasoning away from my spiritual commitment. Because when I give myself back to my flesh, it will then gain its strength over you and then begin to point its finger at what you once was. See, don't go back to that. That's religious jargon. You don't have to be that. And that's why God says, even in the area of money, if you try to serve both, you ain't going to do it, because you'll hate the one and turn to the other. And that's the first thing believers get out of fellowship with God. They start hating everybody. It starts at their church and they work their way out. It never starts on the ground. Why? Because the church is the first sign of commitment against their conscience. Did you guys get something good today? I gave you a secret of how to get back on track. Quit walking down dark alleys. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 God even sprinkles white snow on us and we're still confused. I think we will have service tonight, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only time I canceled Sunday night service, I knew I couldn't get home. No, I'm just kidding. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're now bowing our heads to a part of the service that's very important. Father, today we know that it's quite possible that somebody came today and has never known the Lord, is walking in darkness and would like to walk in light again. You might be confused about where your present life is, going nowhere. You might be addicted to drugs and want freedom. Well, there's a way that you can have it. That is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing Him as your now Savior, so that He can become your Lord. And if that's the case, you're here and you've never confessed Jesus as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. Because then He can become your Lord. But if your life is in your own hands, how great is that darkness? For it has no life in it, except Christ create life in you. So if you're here today and you've never been born from above, born again, then you're sold out to your flesh and you need to be born again, removed from its authority to serve the living God. So if you've never done that tonight, this morning, we want you to come up and receive salvation. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is not an option. It's not something God just gives certain ones and certain. It's a must for all believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Absolute must. Hallelujah. He needs to give a language to your new spiritual being above your intellect. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you have muted your inner man. You need to release him. And the last thing, and this prayer is going to be for everybody. If you know that you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, we want to see everyone make a commitment to return back to a commitment to Him with a walk of the Spirit. People, that's the best place to be for favor with God. And to you to live out your full inheritance. To receive the blessing from above. Because Satan is the god of this world. And if you operate within the confinement of this world, you have no hope. But if you operate in your inheritance, you have a position, you have favor with God that the world can't stop. So with that said, when I dismiss, I want those of you to come up. We'll have our altar workers ready for you. So if you've even been out of fellowship with the Lord, want to restore everyone. Healing, physical healing, restoration, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, whatever it is that you need, we're available for you right up front here. So when I dismiss, please come up. We have altar workers that'll assist us. Amen. So with that said, Father, I thank you for the service. I hope I gave everybody a thought, something to think about, so that they can walk in the victory that you've intended us to walk in and not substitute for the wisdom of this ungodly world. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.